So today we're going to look at Luke 9 and 10 and talk about the harvest. So I want to start by saying just a big thank you to all of you at South Abbotsford for your continued support. Like Ed said, we went out about the year 2000, and South Abbotsford was one of the first churches that came on board, supported us, has sent several teams to come work alongside with us. And probably the biggest thing was that the 75th anniversary of South Abbotsford, the church decided to try and raise $75,000 to help us launch an orphanage for HIV children. And you well surpassed that, almost to double the amount. And that was just a huge impetus to allow us to open the orphanage. So a big thank you to that. For that and for your continued support. Before we read some of the passage this morning, I want to just give you a little warning that today's going to be a little bit participatory, if that's okay. If you can just pretend that you are in a Thai church and just work with me on this. I'm going to ask about three different times in the service that we stand up and we pray Thai style. So in Thailand, they love to do this thing. It's kind of gotten popular. The more people that have come and experienced it, they've taken it home. And basically, everyone stands up at the same time and just prays as loud as they can, with as much energy and passion as they can, at the same time. And then somebody closes it up and kind of rounds it up. And the only way this works is if you dig really down deep and find that inner Pentecostal of you. We like to call it the Menocostals, right? The best thing to do is just do it loud with all the passion that you have. And don't worry about the person to your left or right, because they can't even hear what you're saying if we're all doing it correctly. So that's a heads up. So hopefully we can do that together and participate in the things that need prayer around the world. So we're going to look at Luke 9 and 10 today. And before that, I think everyone knows the passage, Luke 10, verse 2, the famous passage, will you send out workers for the harvest? And I just want to let you know, I think most of you probably have heard, but there's a little movement that I think got started in Abbotsford. People are setting their smartphones, their alarms to 10:02 a.m. And if you're in certain groups, that alarm will go off and everyone just kind of knows it's 10:02, like from Luke 10:2. And everyone will just say a quick prayer that God would continue to raise up workers for the church overseas, for the lost overseas, and for our own context here in Canada. So if you haven't joined that little grassroots movement, it's super easy. Just set your alarm up. So today, my sermon is called Workers, Wolves, and Warriors. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit about how God is moving in Thailand. And the warriors part, just so you know, is not, you know, for my husband, who, if you know him, he's a little bit of a Warriors fan. Nothing to do with that. This is purely scriptural. He was saying that to me today. He's like, wow, you're really giving me credit in this sermon. I said, no, it's nothing to do with the Warriors. So let's go ahead and look at Luke 10, verse 1 to 4. And my version, I love the version that I use here, because they use the word pleading. And so today you might hear a little bit of pleading and desperation in my voice for that sending out of the workers. So Luke 10, verse 1 says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Go, I am sending you out like lambs surrounded by wolves. Do not carry a money bag, a traveler's bag, or sandals, and greet no one on the road. And then we're going to skip down to verse 9. Heal the sick in that town and say to them, the kingdom of God has come upon you. And then we're going to skip down one last time to 17. Then the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And so he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Look, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and on the full force of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names stand written in heaven. So here we see one of the most popular kind of missions passages around, right? Pleading with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. But in order to understand kind of what's happening in Luke 10, we need to look at Luke 9, where we see a similar call. He sends out 12. But if we look at the whole chapter, it's way too rich for to go into detail. But there is amazing stuff happening in Luke 9. We see the feeding of the 5,000. We see the transformation of the glory of God on the face of Jesus. And at the same time, we see these four crucial points where the disciples are just failing, a big fail. And if we look at the four things that we see here, it's a challenge to us today as the body of Christ. Are we allowing the enemy to kind of take our focus off of the harvest and get us distracted and muddled up with things that are not of the kingdom and are not going to bring about what we want to see, which is the lost coming to Jesus? And so the four things that we see in verse 40, we see a lack of power. We see a boy that's demonized, and the father wants the disciples to cast out the demons, and they can't do it. So lack of power. They don't understand their authority and the power that we have as believers because of Jesus Christ within us to be able to do that. So Jesus comes up and he casts out the demon. Then in verse 46, we see a lack of unity, and we see the disciples arguing about who's going to be the greatest. I know that never happens among us, right? And Jesus rebukes him and just says, the least of you is actually going to be the greatest. In fact, it'll be a child, right? He talks about how precious children are. And then further on, we see the disciples yet again, I think, bring deep disappointment to Jesus. And yet he's so gracious. We see in chapter 10 that he's giving them another chance. And in verse 54, we see this huge lack of compassion. So they've sent out a messenger ahead of them, and they wanted to secure a place to stay in Samaria, and the Samaritans turned them down. And so the disciples, in their finest moments, say, can we torch with fire this town for not receiving their messenger? And so we see a total lack of compassion, right? No understanding that the Samaritans have been oppressed and marginalized and been prejudiced against. Nothing like that. And so Jesus rebukes them again. And then lastly, in verse 59 and 61, we see two different people saying to Jesus, I want to follow you with everything that I am. I just want to bury my father first. And then the next guy says, I just want to say goodbye to my family first. And not terrible things, right? We would say, well, that makes sense. But Jesus is really raising the bar here to say, no, if you're going to follow me, you have to be all in. And then we see in chapter 10 that not only are we going to have the power to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and Jesus kind of says, almost, I wonder if he said it a little bit jokingly, where he said, the disciples are like, we saw demons come out. And Jesus says, oh, I saw Satan himself fall from heaven, right? I think we have no idea of the power and the authority that we have access to as believers. And so when we look at chapter 9, the challenge to us today as a church or as a believer is to not be the chapter 9 church, right? To not be lacking unity and power, compassion, commitment, but to actually rise above those things and say, we want to be busy in kingdom work and busy bringing the harvest in. There's a great quote from a good friend of mine, Cesar Garcia. He's the now the president of the Mennonite World Council. And he says, we know that no one comes to Jesus through intellect alone. One must have an experience with the living God in power, and then your intellect follows. And so today, when I think about the people that have come to Christ in Thailand, like Ed said, there have been a number of churches planted, a number of people have come to Christ. It usually happens through a power encounter. There's something about God showing up in power that allows a Thai person to say no to, you know, generations of folk Buddhism and say yes to Jesus. And I just want to encourage you today, as our Canadian church, that power encounter is not limited to Thailand. Amen? Amen. When you guys come across barriers and things that are just immovable, You have the same access to the power that the disciples had to what's happening in nations overseas. I think sometimes we're just a little scared maybe or hesitant to tap into it. But today I want to leave you with that encouragement that that same power is ours today in Canada or anywhere in North America. So I want to talk a little bit about workers, and then we're going to pray at the end of this little section for more workers. So you see here some slides of some new workers. For years, we've prayed for more workers for Thailand, and God has heard our prayers. So we have Katie Mount. She's 28 years old from Kansas, and she's made a 10-year commitment. She's been with us about 2 years. So I want to kind of throw that out as a challenge, too. You don't have to wait to be kind of 40 years old, 50 years old when you've got your theology and your life together. You can go for it now when you're young. And so she's just been the spark plug for our ministry there. And then this family, the Schroeders from Saskatchewan, 3 young kids. He's a pastor in a rural church there. And they feel called to orphan care, trafficked women, and theological teaching. And we're like, okay, we have a spot for you. So they'll be hopefully joining us a year from now. So pray for them as they work together and try and raise their funds and get trained up to come out and join us. And then lastly, the next slide is John and Marion. I don't know if they're here today. John and Marion? Okay, I think many of you might know them. They've been at this church for many, many years. They have come 8 winters in a row. If they were here, I'd have them stand up. Give them applause, because that is amazing. 8 winters in a row, they just carve out their winter and they come to us. And they're probably the closest thing that the children in our orphanage have to grandparents. And it's this consistent coming back, loving on them. They don't speak Thai. Every time they arrive, I'm like, okay, 5 words a day, guys, 5 words a day. And they laugh and we laugh and we know it's never going to happen. But you know what? It's amazing, right? Love conquers all boundaries, all barriers of language, and those kids look like literally count down the days until John and Marion come. So I actually have a short video that I'd like to show about John and Marion right now.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm Marion. And just want to tell you that 8 years ago, we came to Thailand for the first time, and God has really blessed us through this opportunity that we've been able to have. Who would have ever thought this would be the privilege and the opportunity we would have at our age, which is retirement age? People always ask, what do you do when you're there?
Usually 7 a.m. in the morning, I drive the kids to school. It's been a highlight for me the last few years. And it also gives the moms a break. And but I see how the kids react to with each other. And started there was a lot of construction.
Maybe not.
And a lot of backbreaking work and a lot of sweat. And the last few years have been a lot more just maintenance, looking after the buildings. With the weather and the climate here, it takes a toll on the buildings, and there's lots to do. The windows need adjustment, and there's lots of grass to be cut every year, and usually the mower needs to be fixed, and the water pump needs to be fixed, and all small jobs, but they all add up, and it's been just a great way to spend 2 months.
And my job is very different. I'm not working outside. Do a lot of baking for the children and teach baking to the house moms. And that's been fun. A lot of times the children are sitting on top of the table, scooping out dough into the cupcakes, which is hilarious. And then we've got beading, crafting that we do with the children. And just basically blessing the house moms wherever I can and spending time with them. I would also like to say that it's been a real privilege to be able to share this with our friends at home and our church. And a lot of them are praying for us and supporting us in that way. And it is huge for us because we do get tired, but God has just given us the health to be able to do this. And thank you very much. It's no secret we love John and Marion. They've come for 8 years. They've totally blessed our family and the ministry here. But probably most importantly, they blessed the Thai people, the Thai church, the orphanage community. They literally count down the weeks before these guys come. So we would love to have more people like John and Marion join Global Service.
We know that everyone can't come halfway around the world here to Thailand, but everyone can pray and you can give. So if you want to give, you can go to our website at nbmission.org, or you can email us directly at sierrasanchez@hotmail.com. Hope to see you here.
See ya.
Thanks, everybody. Love you. Fist bump.
So you've got Katie, who came at 26 and made a 10-year commitment. You've got John and Marion, who came at, I won't say their ages. So hopefully you can find yourself somewhere in that picture. Today in missions, the kind of trendy saying is missions is from everywhere to everywhere. It's from everyone to everyone. And really want to challenge you this morning to think about what your role as a worker is in your sphere of influence, your world. So if you can stand with me right now, we're going to try the Thai prayer thing. I know this is going to find that inner Pentecostal in you. I just know it. And I just want to ask that we would pray for a minute out loud together. Like I said, as loud as you can. It's your big chance for more workers. And that can be for Canada. That can be for Abbotsford. That can be for us in Thailand, the unreached nations around the world. Anything that's on your heart, just that thing of like, we want to be about the harvest. And then I'll close. So when you kind of hear me getting even louder, then we just die down. You think we can do this, church? Okay, some of you have been to Thailand, so you're going to kind of help us. Okay, here we go. One, two, three, pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for the chance to just bring our hearts together and with you in Luke to just call out and plead for more workers. God, we think of Canada, Father. We think of the many, many people that need Jesus and need to know what it means to walk in relationship with Jesus, God. We think about the nations around the world that are yet unreached, yet to hear the gospel. And we ask, Lord, that you would hear the cries of our hearts, that we would pray with Scripture, and that you would send out more workers to complete the harvest and to bring the gospel to the very dark places around the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, not bad. Not bad. Thumbs up. You got another couple chances, so you know we're going to raise the decibel limit next time. Okay, next we want to talk a little bit about wolves. And in the passage that we read today, it actually says, I'm going to send you out like lambs to the wolves. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't usually sit as like, oh, I want to sign up for that. And yet, there it is in Scripture. And so I just want to encourage you that one thing to do, if you feel like maybe your spiritual life is just kind of lackluster, or you can't understand why things are happening with other people's Christian lives and not in your own, I want to just challenge you to run to the wolves. Run. Do the exact thing that is counterintuitive, and you actually look at this scripture and say, okay, who are the wolves that I'm most scared of? And often when we ask ourselves and we lay that down before the Lord, he's able to say, that group that you're most scared of, the ones that you most want to self-preserve and self-protect, the ones that you don't want your kids exposed to, that's the wolves that I want you to go to. So I want you in this next week to spend time with the Lord and ask, is there a group of wolves in Abbotsford that just kind of freaks you out a little bit? And leaves you a little bit scared. And ask if that is actually the group that goes against all your common sense, but that's the group that God wants you to be pouring yourself out to. Because as we do that, right, if you can picture a little lamb running straight towards a pack of wolves, there's no way that lamb is going to be saved without the intervention of Jesus Christ. And that's what happens when we put ourselves out there in this precarious position. We're completely dependent on Christ. God has to show up, and you will be amazed at the people's lives that God uses you to touch. So I want to share a little story here about Yah in this picture. You see her with her three kids. Yah grew up in a Muslim home as a Muslim in Bangkok, and when her parents died at 17, she went to Pattaya, which is one of the worst red light districts in the world, and became a prostitute to be able to send her five younger siblings to school. And so she was in that lifestyle for many, many years. And about 4 years ago, I got a phone call from a social worker who said, hey, we have these three young kids. Their mom is going to die tonight of full-blown TB and AIDS. Will you take the kids? So, of course, we said yes, and we took the children. And lo and behold, about 2 weeks later, this woman, Yah, shows up on our doorstep. And she had not died that night. And so we were in another place where we're like, wow, so God is actually bringing people out of the wolf's den right to our doorstep. So we took her in, nursed her back to health, and for many, many months, it was this thing of like she'd get better, and then she'd run back to Pattaya, and then she'd go back to drugs, and she'd come back. And she got saved, she got baptized. But if any of you have worked with addicts or people coming out of that wolf's den, it is a hard, hard journey. And so in the end, we were able to send her to Tamar Ministries, which is a YWAM ministry that works with women wanting to come out of prostitution. And so she went, and this is at her graduation from Bible school. And so I came with Ricky. Ricky bought that beautiful bouquet of flowers. We brought her kids, and she was a transformed woman. She had gained about 40 pounds in 4 months from just being off drugs and being in a loving situation, and was looking really healthy. And today she is still walking with the Lord. She's got her hairdresser's certificate. She's got all her kids back. And she is this on-fire evangelist in the heart of Pattaya. So every team that we bring down to Pattaya to do a prayer walk or to minister to the prostitutes there, she meets us now, gives her story, and then walks with us through the streets of Pattaya and teaches us how to pray, teaches us about the strongholds that need to be broken down in a place like Pattaya. So next slide, you'll see a couple of other women. And this is Yah in the middle, and we have Da and Mel. And so in March, these two other women came to us. They had babies that they wanted to give to ALH, and we said, we're not about taking kids that have parents, but you can come as well. And so they came and they lived with us for a while and just kind of soaked up the kindness of the ALH community and the Thai believers. And right when we were hosting a team from MEI, actually, we had 14 people on site. Da, who had just started to hear the gospel, said to us that every point of crisis in her life, it had always been a Christian that had extended kindness and helped her. And so the reason she came to us was that she had been trafficked as a sex worker to Malaysia and was beaten and all kinds of horrific things, and was desperate to get back to Thailand, was pregnant. And it was a Thai Christian that she met in Malaysia who said, I will buy your plane ticket. And so she basically fled back to Thailand and then ended up with us. And as she recounted all these acts of kindness over her life from being a child, her parents died too when she was about 6 years old, she finally came to this moment where she was like, I want to say yes to Christ. And so she's like, I want everyone to be here. So we called the MEI team in and all the Thai believers from town and the whole ALH community, and had this beautiful time of coming to Christ and her giving her life to Christ in front of everyone. And after that, she said, you know, I have never in my life had a full night's sleep. I've been tormented by this evil spirit. And do you think Jesus would be able to help me with this as well? And so what an amazing chance just to say, actually, yes, he can. And so we all laid hands on her, and she prayed, and then we prayed after her. And there was this very guttural kind of screaming thing that happened because the spirit did not want to leave. And in the end, it had to leave. Amen? Has to leave, right? And so she began to just weep and weep and just said, I don't know what just happened, but something just left me, and I feel this incredible lightness. And so, you know, everyone's crying, and what a huge faith boost to our Thai believers who were there, the ALH community, and then the MEI team. Their eyes were like this wide and just going, what just happened? And what an amazing chance for discipleship, right? To actually take scripture and say, yeah, we are empowered by Jesus Christ to heal the sick, to cast out demons. It's part of our armor that God gives us, so we don't need to be scared of wolves. At this point, I'm pretty sure that everybody here knows somebody that has that you love or that has been kind of drawn outside of a safe place. Maybe it's somebody who's into addictions or any type of really hard life. And I know at ALH, we've had three girls run away. Some of you know the story of and another girl of our SA. And just 3 weeks ago, we had another 18-year-old girl who decided to go to the streets. And so I know that's not unique to Thailand. I know that heartbreak is everywhere. And so right now I'd like to ask you to stand again. And I want us to take another minute and just to pray that the Lord would continue to rescue those people from the wolves and to give us as believers the courage to go actually into the wolves' area. Right? Not to self-protect, but actually to run and to rescue those people out. So you can pray for Noon. Noon is our latest runaway. You can pray for the girls, who are new believers now. So the two girls are now at Tamar with Yah, so they're doing a Bible school situation. Or you can pray for someone you know that needs a touch from the Lord today. So can we do that? Pray that God would give us the hearts to go rescue and that God would begin to rescue people from the wolves. So a little louder this time, folks, okay? Just dig a little deeper. Can we do it? Okay, one, two, three, pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you call us out to actually go to the wolves, Lord, and that you are able to protect us. We don't need to walk in fear. Father, I thank you for every loved one that's represented in this room that has somehow strayed away from the kind hands of your son, Jesus. And so today, Lord, we just declare together that no one is beyond the long reach of Jesus Christ. And for all those lost souls that are out there, we just ask, Lord, that you yourself would pursue them and use us, Father, use us to go and pursue the lost and the hurting and bring them back safely to you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. So lastly, as warriors, we have a picture here of a young couple, Gideon and Phone. They're from the north, and they are church planting with us. And they are about 24 years old. They've left their homes in the north. He's from the Karen tribe. She's, of course, we're very close. She's from the Lisu tribe, and they are just going for it. They don't speak Thai that well. They have a strong accent. Thai people kind of look down on them because they're tribal, but they are going for it. So I have a short video about them and our new church plant called Zion Church. So pray for Gideon and Phone. It's a very hard area to be a church planter. Most of those people are too scared to show up at our church because they'll be ridiculed by the other villagers. So pray for Gideon and Phone. We're going to just fly through a couple of slides here of other warriors that are really on the front lines in Thailand, and that'll be the last thing that we pray for. This is Dai, one of our house moms, just started studying a BA in social work in order to help the kids at ALA. She's 40. And so pray for her. She's been with us about 13 years, and we really see that God has given her incredible wisdom in helping our kids. The next slide is just some of our new kids. This is Cherry, and she just represents, I think, this the fact that the kids that we take in at ALH, our heart and our vision and our mandate really is to see them not only have this amazing happy childhood, but actually to be raised up to be warriors for the sake of the kingdom in Thailand. And they will go farther than any missionary has ever gone. Next slide is we call them the Wonder Boys. Many of you know them. It's really small, but those are the five first boys that came to us and that you guys kind of rallied around to help us build a home for them. And they are now 25 and a university, Bible school, all kinds of things. So pray for them. The names are there. I think you remember some of those names. That they would actually take their spiritual inheritance and become warriors for the kingdom in Thailand. Next picture is kind of the next generation. This is our new little boys' home. And we have actually a mom and a dad in the home now. And you can see just how beautiful and little these guys are. And in a moment, they're going to be 25. And so we just really covet your prayers that they would stay safe in the hand of Jesus and take their identity as warriors for the gospel. And next is a slide, just because everyone loves Bing Bing. She's in grade 12 now. Many of you know her. Continue to pray for her. She loves God, is sharing her faith with her friends, wants to get into medical school. And we just found out that the Thai system will not allow her to be a doctor because she has HIV. And so we're praying that if she gets in, that God is going to move all kinds of barriers and allow her to see her dream. Next slide is Pong. And this is kind of an exciting thing that happened in October. He's 18, was at Bible school, and is the first child that we've had that all of a sudden the doctor said to them, you're negative. You've been healed. I don't understand it. You don't have HIV anymore. And so pray for him. He's had people prophesy over him that he's called to be a pastor, and he's on the road, but there's all kinds of wolves that are trying to distract him and tear him away from the calling that God has on his life. And the next slide, last slide, this is our Cambodian church. In March with the MEI team that was here, we were able to send three of our ALH kids, kind of age 18 to 22, with the MEI team to Cambodia. And for me, it was kind of this full circle kind of moment of actually seeing Thai people kind of rise up, go cross-cultural, just crossing a border, blew their world, blew their minds, just to not be able to speak Cambodian and all of those things that you experience when you go cross-culturally. And so so that's one of our prayers, too, is that we would actually begin to see in this next season Thai Christians want to go out and be missionaries around the world. So, okay, last prayer minute. If you can come and stand up for the last time, we're going to pray for more warriors. In particular, we're going to pray for the Thai believers. they face a lot of obstacles, and the enemy seems to not want them to fulfill their destiny and their identity. So last time, pretend you're at a soccer game, World Cup type of thing, and just go for it, okay? 1, 2, 3, pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just being able to see the faces of these Thai believers, church planting, being witnesses in their high school, going out to neighboring nations, God. And we just want to ask that you would protect these Thai believers, God. They're such a small, precious remnant. And so, Father, we just want to join our hearts together and push back any schemes of the enemy from drawing them away from the calling and the purpose that you have on their lives. We say yes and amen to raising up a new generation to reach their own nation with the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.